Julie McGowan-Boyd has been a Kingdom partner with us for, I think, about 15 years, since about 2004, and was sent out from this congregation and was a key part, obviously, of founding the Living Room Ministries International. She's since married Titus, who is a joy. Many of you will remember as well that they adopted children as well, and some of them had transplants at UCLA. Matter of fact, I was with Ryan this week, and he's doing well, and he's healthy, and so there's a lot to celebrate in the midst of all of the challenges of the work that the Living Room Ministries does. And so with no further introduction, would you welcome Julie as she comes to speak to us.
It's good to be with you all. This is a place that feels like home to me, and I came here as a student at APU and sat in corner over there for many years before I went to Kenya in 2004. And I'm so grateful that 15 years after I moved from here, this feels even more, I feel more connected now than I did even when I left. And I think it's such a testament to you as a community, the ways that you've loved us and held us, supported us, prayed for us over all of these years, and I want to say thank you so much. And what a blessing and gift it is to be able to share what God is doing in our midst. And when I thought about what I wanted to talk about this weekend, just the idea that kept coming back into my mind was joy. And so before I go any further, I want to introduce you to Chumba, who is my greatest teacher in joy, and she's on this video. Such a gift. Mungu yu mwema. Mungu yu mwema. Mungu yu mwema. Yu mwema kwangu. Mungu yu mwema. When I think about joy, moments like this one spent with this child are what resonate within me. Moments which catch me off guard, nearly taking my breath away. On any given day, if you were to visit Living Room's Kimbilio Hospice in the village of Kipkaran, you would find her sitting on the veranda or in the garden. She would greet you with her radiant smile and the uncontrolled nonverbal sounds which are generous and filled with meaning if you're willing to listen. And when you sing to her, she would laugh and try to sing with you too. In so many ways, as I said, she's been my greatest teacher in what joy really is. On the day she first arrived at Kimbilio Hospice in 2010, she was on the verge of starvation. Her physical condition didn't seem to be compatible with life. And one of our caregivers, Mary, was holding Chumba's fragile body and gently singing to her in the Kalenjin language, words which simply mean, "I am so glad that Jesus loves me." As Mary was singing to Chumba, a smile filled Chumba's face that was beautiful, and it was surprising. Henry Nouwen encourages, be surprised by joy. Be surprised by the little flower that shows its beauty in the midst of a barren desert. And be surprised by the immense healing power that keeps bursting forth like springs of fresh water from the depth of our pain. There's something wonderful and mysterious about the surprising element of joy. Just this past week, I was visiting in Mississippi. I had been invited to visit with some leaders who are interested in building something like Living Room in Mississippi for medically fragile children. And as we were touring a children's hospital and some other places, I met this little boy, and I don't even know his name, but as I leaned down beside him to greet him, he hugged me, and he wouldn't let go. And like Chumba, he wasn't verbal, but as a friend of mine says, silence is a language. I wasn't really prepared for the moment, for the way his extravagant love ministered to me. But I leaned in, soaking in the gift of his embrace. There's a quote by Sister Helen which says, "I want to care deeply for someone and hopefully have someone care deeply for me. It's not that God isn't enough, it's the opposite, really. If God truly is love, then the deeper I love, the more I know God. That's one really good thing about the Christ life. It's grounded in love of flesh and blood people." Just yesterday, I was with our son, Joffrey. He's 5, and he needed a new brace for his foot. He had a stroke before his transplant. And while we were waiting to get the brace fitted, I asked him, "Joffrey, what kind of shoe do you want to get?" There aren't really shoes that fit over these braces very much, but it was a question, and he said, "I want a rainbow shoe." I said, "Okay." So we went to the store yesterday, and we're trying on shoes, and we tried on 18 different pairs of shoes, and they were not fitting. And I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm wrestling with this brace, trying to get this foot in the shoe. And Joffrey's like, "Look, there's a rainbow shoe." So I look behind me, and there's this shoe. So we hand it over to him. We're talking about the shoes and the rainbow and the beauty and all of this. And he says, "Well, rainbows, you know, God keeps his promises." These are the moments of delight. These moments of joy that surprise me. I mean, the shoes weren't even in stock, you know? We had to order them from Chicago. But God keeps his promises. On the pages of the Bible, the surprised by joy thing had happened to Elizabeth when she was expectant with John the Baptist. And, you know, Jesus's mother came to see her, and as Mary had Jesus in her belly, Elizabeth said, "As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." In reflection on this, Jan Richardson writes, "You can prepare, but still, it will come to you by surprise, crossing through your doorway, calling your name in greeting, turning like a child who quickens suddenly within you. It will astonish you how wide your heart will open in welcome for the joy that finds you so ready and still so unprepared." Psalm 16 says that I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you believe your deepest possible joy is found in the presence of Jesus? And saying yes to loving him, to loving your neighbors. Jesus said, "The thief, he comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." We must pay attention to the warning as well as the promise of Jesus within his words. Thieves typically come discreetly when you're not looking, not paying attention, and you don't know what you've lost, what's been destroyed, how much it really cost you until it's already gone. when we choose lesser things than Jesus and the life he is offering, often it will be for something seemingly good. But when we settle for lesser, temporary pleasures, they likely will bring happiness for a fleeting moment. But in the end, they will leave great emptiness and longings go unsatisfied. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. I'm not sure where the storyline came in that being a Christian is primarily one of following rules, ultimately living a watered-down, boring sort of life. While the Bible does give us the law and prophets, it's all for the purpose of abundant life, where we love God and love our neighbors as we learn to love ourselves. I'm convinced that following Jesus on his terms is the greatest adventure possible. The pursuit of Jesus requires living with your whole heart and embracing your own vulnerability. It makes a way for our identity to be found in being a beloved child of God. As Brennan Manning writes, my deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus and I have done nothing to deserve it. Yeah. But here's the fine print. Following Jesus does not promise ease, health, fame, or riches. We don't get to pick and choose between what feels safe and comfortable or what is convenient for our schedule. Security doesn't get to be our idol, and family isn't permitted to be our God. Apathy and indifference to the sufferings of those around us is never allowed. As C.S. Lewis writes, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. About a year ago, I woke up in the night with a word impressed upon my heart. I don't know if it was a dream or exactly what it was, except it was deep within my head and my heart. And it felt like an invitation. The message was simply enjoy. Our family was coming off of a 15-month hard journey of undergoing bone marrow transplants for our two sons, Joffrey and Ryan. It was a surprising gift, an important reminder to slow down and embrace all that God has graciously given to us. You know, our days are more than a culmination of tasks and to-do lists. There are so many things worth noticing and appreciating. While Dallas Willard didn't say these words directly to me, I read them as though he did. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Our son Ryan's transplant happened when he was 19 months old. I think the trauma of illness, the treatment process itself, and being on the verge of death took his voice away, delaying his speech almost entirely. Amazingly, it did not touch his sense of wonder, and one of his only words for a long time was wow. On a really difficult day, I was trying to make sense of the hard, wrestling as a song called The Goodness of God was playing in the car, and Ryan was sitting beside me in his car seat. The lyrics of the song say, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. When the song finished, Ryan, whose words were still almost none, said again. It surprised me as I'd never heard him say the word before, so I turned to look at him and I asked him, again? And he nodded his head. You know, the hard had not changed the truth of God's goodness. We listened again. As Matt Chandler says, become an expert in how good God has been to you. There's a child song, a children's song that says, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And my children, they sang this song as we packed our suitcases into the car and headed to the airport in Los Angeles as we were finally getting to go back to our home in Kenya. And none of us could have imagined 477 days earlier all that would fill the days and nights of the journey. We were all marked invariably by the suffering required for healing to come. And like Psalm 126, verse 6 tells, our tears had helped to water the ground where seeds were buried in the dirt. Our heavy hearts waited and ached for new life to come. Little by little, it came, and we were coming home with laughter and armloads of blessing. After long flights, the road twisted and turned through the rolling green hills to our village in Kenya. And I knew each of them by heart, and now my feet could touch the ground once more. As we approached our little orange home, the African sun was setting, going back to a land and people that had loved us so well on the other side of the world. I heard the sound of singing long before I could see the sea of faces, hundreds of our neighbors gathered to line the dirt road leading to our home. The sound of their celebration and rejoicing surrounded us from all sides in the most beautiful foretaste of heaven sort of way. In the words of St. Augustine, when we come to our final home, there we shall rest and see and love, love and praise. This is what shall be in the end without end. It is this for which the human soul was made. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I wanted to give you a little glimpse into what our homecoming looked like on that evening in January, so there should be a video to show you.
Everybody's asked me, when are they coming back? When are they coming back? And my answer, you know, throughout the whole year, not for a while, you know? Usually they go home for about 6 weeks, you know, and then come back. So 16 months has been a very long time. So we're all very excited.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that we have really waited for so long. And you can see the joy and the excitement from the ladies, the children, the people here. Everyone is excited. Cooking is taking place. The music is on. The dancing is on. And very soon, in fact, in a few minutes, I heard that their plane is on time, and now they are really coming, and we are so, so much excited.
I feel like every time I think about them arriving home, I looked this morning at my text messages and was looking back to see the first text that she told me when they were buying tickets, and it was in October. And I remember the feeling that I had, like tears immediately came to my eyes. I was thinking, they're actually gonna come back, you know? Thank you, God.
Good to see you.
This community loves them so much. We love them so much. We're so grateful to God of what he has done in their family.
Overwhelming to be received by a community that you know loves you in the way that they do, and that we love them too. And I feel like it's been a million miles to get here, and yet I'm so grateful to have arrived. I'm always amazed by the generosity that's displayed, like, through hospitality here. I think it's so moving to me because there's so many people that we love whose faces showed up along a line. And, you know, the siblings, Vivian and Alice and Isaiah and Jacqueline and David, who've been waiting here for their brothers and sisters. I mean, and we came and we got to come with all of them. And there were days where I didn't know if that was gonna happen. And I've, as we were traveling, like, I really have felt this sense of everything we hoped for has happened in this journey. And as Ryan was restless on the airplane at one point, it was like, well, that's what we asked for. We asked for him to have life, and he has it.
It's amazing, right? One of the highlights in coming back to Kenya was getting to see with our own eyes the New Living Hospital that you helped to build. And there's some photos I want you to see. It's hard to put into word the beauty of this place, the sacredness that's been created. I was a part of the design team for the construction, but when I walk the hallways, I'm acutely aware that I did not dream this place. This one is from the heart of God. I step into the garden space, which is grand with trees and bold with vibrant color and life. A chapel, it stands in the middle as a symbol of our hope and faith. The noise you will hear is the constant singing of yellow and black weaver birds as they build their nests in the tree canopies above. It sounds to me like worship. And God speaks to me, not audibly, but in ways that I recognize his voice. If I take care of the birds, I will take care of you. It shouldn't surprise me, but it always does. And I love that this message about joy, it's not just about ours, but also God's. Is it possible that, as it says in the book of Zephaniah, that God will rejoice over us with singing? Have you heard the sound of him singing over you? Can you receive it, soak in it, learn who you are, be transformed by the sound of his delight? This year has been a wonderful and difficult season for Living Room. Big dreams have been fulfilled, but also challenges accompany this work. Opening a new hospital and engaging a larger healthcare system, it's hard. And many days it feels like you're trudging through mud. Each step is challenging, but I'm thankful for God's faithfulness, which gives us courage and joy to step in, to let the roots go deep, to keep dreaming his dreams, because there is more important work still to be done on behalf of our love for God and our neighbors. In Eldoret, one of the next steps of our vision is to build a family care center that will function like a Ronald McDonald House. You know, there are people who are traveling from far distances, children who are coming for chemotherapy, radiation services, and a nearby cancer center. And the story is told over and over again of these kids who come for their treatment, and they get chemo in the morning, and then at night, they sleep on the floor of the emergency department. As a mom who's watched the suffering of my children from the side effects of chemo, I cannot imagine them not having the comfort of a bed to rest in. And it feels like an opportunity for us to remind patients and families, you're not forgotten. Your story matters. Your pain matters. Your healing is worth fighting for. CA, I want to ask you to pray with us as God continues to lead this journey, as we continue to dream the dreams that he's putting in front of us and the willingness that he has put within us to say yes to those dreams. Pray for provision and wisdom, for the favor to move these things forward in ways that will allow us to care for those who need it most. What are you thankful for? I want to invite you to take time over the next days, weeks, to ask this question. Pay attention and practice. Take note, mark it down. Remember, paint it if you want to. Go for a walk and think about it. Share your reflections with a friend or your family. You can sing it like my children do if you want to. Anne Voskamp writes that God asks us to give thanks in all things because he knows that joy begins in the action of gratitude. What are you thankful for? And what about in the hard spaces of life? I'm not asking for pat answers or a cliche. Don't make it up. Don't feel forced. But begin to pay attention to what God is doing around you. As you are pursuing the heart of God, what are you noticing? What do you need to say thank you for? I want to clarify that joy and happiness are not always the same thing. There are multiple verses which talk about joy in relationship with suffering, and they're important to our faith. But please be clear that God does not take pleasure within our pain. He is our comforter. He is near to the brokenhearted. When Jesus walked or was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked for a different way. And when the scriptures say to rejoice in the Lord always, this is not asking us to rejoice that our child is sick, that the car accident happened, that our friend took their life. The rejoicing is not asking us to be happy about atrocities both personally and globally. We are to lament and grieve many things within this broken world, but Mother Teresa has a quote that I go back to often, which says, "Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of the risen Christ." In the darkest of times, we have a choice to choose. As Henry Nouwen describes, based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found God to be our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, not even death, can take God away from us. This year on World Hospice Day in October, I was surrounded by family and friends as we witnessed and cheered for Eliud Kipchoge, a fellow Kenyan, as he became the first marathon runner, which we have many fast Kenyan runners, but the first to do it in under 2 hours. All right? A feat that many experts said could never be done. And in Kenya, we were waiting for this day with anticipation. Allison and I were watching everything about Eliud and so excited as he's from our neighborhood. And so I want to show you, in case you missed it, a clip from him running and the village watch party at David Tarus's house.
He's pointing. Come on, he says. Eliud Kipchoge has the hand of history on his shoulder. He has less than 200 meters to go. Eliud Kipchoge, let's keep an eye on the clock, into the final 20 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge. Whoa! On his shoulder. 140. 140. Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 159.40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting strike for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavor.
It's hard to articulate all that was happening in this moment. It wasn't just about running superhuman fast or breaking a record. We were cheering for that. but there was more at work. Elliot didn't give up when he was tired. He didn't quit when it was hard. He didn't stop trying after failed attempts. I was in a room, in a country, on a continent where the voices all around us so often seem to shout, "You are poor. There will never be enough. Death always wins. You aren't good enough." And we were screaming in celebration, marked by joy in a way that I hope to never forget. It was a moment of resistance, recognizing that these voices, too often that we listen to, they are screaming lies. Hebrews 12 says, "As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds." So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. On the day of Elliot's race, a friend actually from here at CA, she penned these words, a sort of prayer that I want to close our time with. So let's pray. There's something about human achievement of this kind that sends electric hope through me. We are designed for greatness. We are powerful. We are determined that we can not only shatter records, but maybe we can also end world hunger and ameliorate climate change and find homes for foster youth and bring healing and compassion and hope and faith to a world that needs it. I'm praying today for this kind of determination and perseverance to grow larger in my soul, that I can be a blessing to this world in more notable ways today than I was yesterday, that I can run the race before me with more confidence in the God I trust. And I add these words, "Jesus, help us always remember the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. Nothing is impossible with you. Keep surprising us with joy and let gratitude grow within us. May our lives be all about glorifying you and enjoying you forever. Amen."